بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان شاء الله brothers if you can have some silence please ان شاء الله if you can have some silence that will be a start ان شاء الله if the youngsters can face me ان شاء الله if everyone can move forward ان شاء الله I don't normally bite so it's fine ان شاء الله if brothers can move forward Unless if you have a serious back issue, otherwise the etiquettes of a gathering is that you move forward to the speaker as close as possible. The more you move forward close to the speaker, it will encourage the speaker to talk more better and inshallah Inshallah, please move forward, brothers. We can't start until everyone is forward. No. Inshallah, brothers can start from here, inshallah. Jazakallah. If you haven't got a back issue, please move forward, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant you all good health. Brothers from the back, please, we don't bite. Imams don't bite, don't worry. Brothers, please move forward, inshallah. It is the etiquettes of a gathering that you sit as close as possible. If this was the etiquettes and the sunnah of the Sahaba and the companions. Jazakallah khairan. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala reward you abundantly for your sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice. Many of you have been standing up for 20 rakats Taraweeh. So have we. MashaAllah, you lot are mashaAllah all young, hot blood. Our hair has turned, well, at least my hair has turned white. But inshallah, we'll also try and not lean against the wall as well, inshallah. So inshallah, very soon, the brothers at the back will be serving ice cream and desserts. And alhamdulillah, we have a very prolific speaker, Maulana Abdul Rahman Saab. Maulana, once upon a time, was also an imam in America as well. Maulana, is that correct? Which city? California. Sunny... MashaAllah, he was an imam in sunny California. It's always 30 degrees, if I'm right. Always 30 degrees, MashaAllah. So, alhamdulillah, Maulana was an imam for many years in America. Then Maulana returned back to the UK. And for many years, Maulana was doing an amazing job, a tremendous job in a very well-known charity called Ummah Welfare Trust. Has anyone heard of Ummah Welfare Trust? Yes? MashaAllah, they do amazing work. A few years ago, maybe more than a few years, maybe it was 4, 5, 6 years ago, when they came to Finchley, when I was an imam in Finchley, on that day they said that, MashaAllah, they had in that year, was it in that 1 year you collected 50 million or in 1 year? MashaAllah, in that 1 year, which was 4, 5 years ago, in 1 year, they had collected £50 million of charity. And mashallah, they do amazing charity work across the globe in various different countries. And Maulana was the head of Ummah Welfare Trust in London. And mashallah, since 1 year or maybe more than 1 year, Maulana is working in chaplaincy in Newham General Hospital in Newham, where he, mashallah, goes to patients, gives them support, leads salah, gives advice, and mashallah helps people towards the end of their life. And this has been Maulana since the last one year, alhamdulillah. So Maulana has been connected to various forms of the work of deen, and mashallah, he's a prolific speaker. Allah Ta'ala has really gifted him. Like they say, he's got the gift of the gab, and inshallah, we shall see that as well, inshallah. Without further ado, Maulana will start his talk. Whilst the talk is going, I'm sure Maulana won't mind if the brothers will be giving out ice cream and desserts, inshallah. Maulana will have his ice cream dessert next to him as well, as he feels he can eat while he's speaking. If we can eat, he can eat as well, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. All brothers are requested to listen attentively, and Maulana will give a very short talk. And Maulana said that, inshallah, like Friday night, we shall be giving out pencils and paper. So if anyone has a question, it will give us more time to answer the questions, inshallah. On Friday, we had less time. So Maulana will shorten his talk and try to give more time for the Q&A session. So brothers, we'll be going around with pencil and paper. If you have any questions, inshallah, you can jot it down. Inshallah, we shall try to answer it as best as possible. Jazakallah khair. Without further ado, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahman sahab.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله صدق الله العظيم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. We bear witness that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before I begin, I want to ask you something. You know, before every talk, there's like this Arabic that the Imam says. Do you guys know what that Arabic is? It's a language, but what is it specifically? Like, I recited something in Arabic before I started speaking. I'm sure every speaker that comes does something in Arabic, says some words. Do you guys know what those words are? I'm sure you might even remember portions of it, like Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Nahmaduhu wa Nasta'inuhu wa Nastaghfiruhu. Do you guys know what it is? It's called a khutbah. Yeah, a khutbah is basically a sermon. Do you guys know what a sermon is? No? Friday prayers, what happens on Friday? Jummah, yeah. And what does the Imam do specifically on Jummah? There's a khutbah, excellent. Yes, there's a khutbah. A khutbah is, in fancy language, you call a sermon. It's basically a message. And every message begins with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered a message, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised Allah. So the words in Arabic, praise Allah. What does it mean by praising Allah? We thank Him, we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how great He is, we accept His greatness, we mention how perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, we mention how perfect the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We mention how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any deficiency. We send salutations on our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, salutations mean we send blessings on him. Yeah, when you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does it mean? Peace be upon him, yeah? We're sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what he did whenever he delivered a message. So whenever we hear a message, we deliver a message, we begin with the khutbah. Yeah, so that's a brief khutbah. So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us in the best of months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us in the month of... What month has Allah gathered us in? Ramadan, mashallah. And I hear you guys had a wonderful session on Friday night. Yeah, it went pretty long. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Till Sehri, no, I don't think it was till Sehri. It was still around 1 o'clock. More, half one, mashallah. Well, we'll try to make sure that it's not that long. I'm sure you guys will enjoy it, but your parents need a bit of a rest as well. But I don't know what's going to happen with all this sugar in your body once you guys get home. But inshallah, we make dua that Allah keeps you guys calm. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as Muslims. Yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of us so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now guys, once you're having your ice cream, you still got to pay attention to me. If you don't pay attention to me, we'll have to put a stop to the ice cream. So you guys pay attention? Can you do that? Yeah, inshallah. What's more interesting, the ice cream or what I'm saying? That's the wrong question. Yeah. All right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's the thing right there at the top. Everything that we do, it's to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, everything is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why everything that we do as Muslims, it's connected to worship. Yeah, when we come to the masjid, what are we doing? We're worshipping Allah. But our worshipping Allah is not just when we come to the masjid. When we come to the masjid for Salatul Jumu'ah, for Salatul Taraweeh, for the normal prayers, for your maktab, we're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, worshipping Allah... Who can tell me what worship means? Praising Him, yes, excellent. What else is worship? Obeying, excellent. Anyone else? Something else, come on. Yes. Thanking. Remembering. Praising. When we worship Allah, we're remembering Allah. Yeah. We're obeying Allah. We're becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what worship is. Now, I want you to remember that. Because for a lot of us, when we're worshipping, when we're doing our salah, it's like Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And we just go through the motions. But really, ask yourself, are we really worshipping Allah? Yeah, or are we just doing some movements? Because if we're worshipping Allah, what should happen in our prayer? Yeah, our prayer should bring us close to Allah. We should start thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think about Jannah. We think about the good things that Allah has promised for the good people, the people that do good. And we think about the punishment of Allah that Allah has promised for the people that disobey Allah, that don't follow His actions, that don't follow His commands, that go against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings. Yeah, so we have to remember, everything that we do as Muslims, it's about worshipping Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has blessed us with a beautiful religion. It's an amazing religion. Let me tell you why. Everything in this world, it has an imperfection. It has a flaw. Yeah, they've laid this blue tarp out. Yeah, turpentine. But do you see spots? You'll see spots where you can see the carpet. Yeah, you'll see places where it overlaps. Over time, it becomes old. There's a hole in it. The deen of Allah, the religion that you and I follow, is perfect. Everything about this deen is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. That Allah has chosen Islam for us as a religion. But Allah hasn't just chosen any Islam for us. He hasn't just chosen any way of life for us. The way of life that Allah has chosen for us is the best. Yeah. When you guys want a pair of trainers, what type of trainers do you guys want? You want Jordans, yeah. You want the best, isn't it? You're going to be happy with some Primark trainers? No. Why not? There's nothing wrong with them. You can still wear them and walk in them, but you want the best. Yeah. You want designer wear. Remember that. I'm going to tell you about a Sahabi in designer wear, okay? So, we want the best. Well, Allah has given us a religion that is the best. Islam is the best. Yeah, the teachings of Islam are the best. As you grow older, you'll realize, you'll understand, you'll appreciate how the teachings of Islam make sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Everything makes sense. Right now we might think, oh, prayer 5 times a day, that's a bit too much. Now don't worry. As you get older, you'll realize that we need Allah 5 times a day. If we don't have Allah 5 times a day, then it's easy for us to start going off track, start doing wrong things. That's why we have Allah, Allah. So that, you know, whenever we start slipping, it's time for prayer. We remember Allah. Yeah, so Allah has blessed us with a perfect religion. Allah has blessed us with a complete religion. And inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-islam. Religion is not just worship. Yeah, religion is not just worship. It's a way of life. Everything that we do is ibadah. You guys told me coming to the masjid is ibadah. Praying is ibadah. Yeah, even when you're at home, helping your parents is ibadah. Looking after yourself and your bodies and your hygiene is ibadah. Yeah, helping your siblings is ibadah. Keeping things neat and tidy at home is ibadah. Everything is ibadah as long as we make the right intention that I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do things for Allah, even when you listen to your parents, that also becomes, that becomes worship. Because Allah tells us that we have to respect our parents. We got to listen to them. We have to obey them. Yeah. Everything becomes worship. That's the beautiful thing about our deen. Yeah. Right now you're sitting in the masjid. You're enjoying ice cream, yeah? And some desserts, hopefully, if you guys behave. Yeah. You know, you're sitting here is also ibadah. You're eating ice cream is also ibadah. How does it turn into ibadah? You need the energy to worship. I don't know how much energy you're going to get from ice cream, but hopefully you get enough energy. You can all pray tahajjud today, okay? You'll have a lot of energy today, a lot of sugars in your body. I'll tell you how it becomes ibadah. You make the intention that you're not here for the ice cream. Make the intention that you're here to learn something about Islam. You're here to learn something about Islam. And the ice cream just is a part of the package. So now, although you're sitting here and you're having fun and you might be talking with your friends and you're eating ice cream, all of it becomes ibadah. All of it becomes worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, inshaAllah. So the topic for today is an interesting topic. Was it called boys? Boys to men. Yeah, mashallah, like we're in the 90s again. But boys to men. I don't know if I mentioned it here or I mentioned it somewhere else a few weeks ago. You know, a lot of you are teenagers. Who's a teenager? Raise your hand. Yeah, who's 13 plus? Yeah, I'm sure there's quite a few other teenagers. Bro, you don't look like a kid to me. How old are you? You, the one with the pure top. Yeah. How old are you? You're 18. So how comes you're not raising your hand? Okay, come on, let's try it one more time. Who's a teenager? Yeah, there we go. Mona's a teenager, alhamdulillah. So, a lot of teenagers here. So let me tell you something. When you guys are teenagers, a lot of times, people take you as kids. Yeah? And people treat you as kids. I think I mentioned in the Seven Kings Masjid last week. You're not kids. You're actually adults. You're actually adults. But it's a two-way street. Yeah. If you want to be treated as an adult, what do you have to do? You got to act like an adult. You have to behave like an adult. And at the same time, for the parents, for the elders, if you treat the teenagers like kids, they'll behave like you. Yeah. So we have to give them the respect, but then you also have to give the respect to the elders, the respect to the masjid, the respect for your age, and you guys need to behave as an adult. I'll tell you something. In Islam, there's no concept of being a teenager. Yeah, there's no concept of being a teenager. And when I teach, I cover this because it's a really interesting concept. A good portion of the problems of the youth happen within the teenage years. Yeah, you guys have a lot of distractions, whether it's bad company, whether it's bad substances, whether it's, you know, impermissible relationships. The teenagers understand what I'm talking about. There's a lot of kids here, so I'm not going to kind of, you know, delve in, make it a bit more clear for you guys. But you guys understand all of this. But you think you get away with things because you're kids. Recently in the news, just last week in the news, there was an incident of a 17-year-old. And that 17-year-old did something atrocious with another individual, with a young girl. But because the person was 17, the person doesn't, nothing happens to them. You're juvenile. Yeah, you can't do anything to these people. You guys can you know, people steal, do things, all these juvenile, you walk away with murder. Literally, that's what happens. In Islam, you got to remember, that's not what happens. As soon as you become mature, you reach the age of 12, 13, you're an adult. You're an adult, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you accountable like an adult. Yeah. For my young friends, don't think you're kids. Yeah, you're not kids. Yeah. You're not kids. What do you guys need to think of yourself as? Adults. If you're a teenager, don't think I'm a teenager, it's alright, you know. Alhamdulillah, you guys are blessed that your parents look after you, and your parents provide for you, and your parents shelter you, and your parents cushion you. You know, you go to travel, you go to a lot of countries in the world, and there'll be kids like yourselves out on the streets, yeah, fending for themselves, earning a living. Why? Why? Because they don't have that luxury. From the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, they don't have the luxury of going to school and getting an education. They don't have the luxury of food being provided to them on the table. They have to go work. They have to go, you know, strive. They've got to make things happen because they don't have this luxury. They become adults at that young age. Let me tell you a few stories of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Have you guys heard the name of Ali radiallahu anh? What can you tell me about Ali radiallahu anh? He's the fourth Khalifa. Excellent. Yes. He was the first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What else? Yes. First male, first child to accept Islam. Yeah. Do you know how old he was when he accepted Islam? 8, you're close. Even closer. 10. Ali radiallahu anhu was 10 years old. Now think right now. Have you guys heard of the word Islamophobia? Yeah, where people do things to Islam and Muslims just because they're Muslims. Yeah, people might throw something at you. People might say something. People might, you know, rip the hijab off of a sister. All of this. Why? Because we're Muslims. Because they're Muslims. Imagine Ali radiallahu anh, he was a Muslim at such a young age where the entire society was against Islam and Muslims. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. We need to try to be like these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You know, sometimes for my young friends, and even for the adults, it's, you know, it's a two-way journey. We don't understand and appreciate the value of the youngsters, and then the youngsters don't value and appreciate themselves and what they can do and what they can achieve. While 17, 18-year-olds, you're too busy on your phones and TikTok and Instagram and, you know, all this other stuff, look at what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. Yeah? Do you know, on Friday, it was the 17th of Ramadan. Friday night, yeah, 17th of Ramadan. A very important battle took place on the 17th of Ramadan. Anyone tell me the name of the battle? The Battle of Badr, yes. It was a very pivotal moment. Because it was the first battle. After the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina, they were a small group of people. Yeah. Does anyone know how many people they were? 313, excellent, mashallah. 313. Guess how many horses they had? 2. Yeah. And 70 camels. And they didn't even have much weapon. Yeah. On the other side, there was 1,000 people. Yeah. With horses, with weapons, with everything. Who won? The Muslims won. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with victory. Yeah. But let me tell you something regarding this battle. Yeah. It was very pivotal because if the Muslims would have lost, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Allah, if the Muslims lose, there'll be no more Muslims left on earth. Because they were all the Muslims. That was it. In this battle, there's a Sahabi by the name of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anh. He wanted to take part in the battle. How old was he? He was 13 years old. Yeah, my teenage friends, 13 years old. He comes crying that, Ya Rasulullah, let me take part. Ya Rasulullah, let me take part. The Prophet ﷺ didn't let him take part. He was too young. Yeah. 13-year-old, do we even wake up for Fajr? Maybe right now because it's Ramadan and you need to have your suhoor. Yeah, but other than that, our parents knock on our door. Wake up, Fajr, wake up, Fajr, wake up, Fajr. Yeah. Do any one of us decide that, well, I'm 13 years old, I'm like an adult, let me set my own alarm, let me wake up for Fajr. Let me go to the masjid by myself without my parents nagging me. Let me do something without my parents nagging me. Yeah. You know this Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anh? Yeah. Pay a little bit more attention. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anh, the Prophet ﷺ told him no. The Prophet ﷺ told him, go learn Hebrew. Go learn Aramaic. And the captives of the Battle of Badr, they were brought and they taught Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu how to read and write. Do you want to know what he did? Can anyone tell me what did he do later on in life? Excellent young man. He compiled the Quran. You know the Quran that you and I read today? It was put together by Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Yeah, because during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, they would just memorize things and they would write things down on like parchment, wood, etc. But it wasn't like in one book format. Guess who did that? Zayd ibn Thabit. But at the age of 13, his Islam was strong. Yeah, another great Sahabi, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Yeah, he accepted Islam when he was 14. Yeah, how old was he? 14. Have you guys heard of the famous story of Bilal radiallahu anhu? Yeah? Where what used to happen? His master used to hit him, beat him, whip him, lash him, put him out in the desert in the middle of the heat and put stones on him so he couldn't get up. That's what used to happen to Muslims. Yeah? And these young Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what did they do? They were strong Muslims. Yeah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he accepted Islam at the age of 14. Yeah, this same person, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh, so subhanallah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh, in the year 15 after Hijrah, do you want to know what he did? He led the army in the Battle of Qadisiyah and he defeated the Persian Empire. Have you guys heard of the Persian Empire today? No, but you might have heard about it in history. But have you heard of the Roman Empire? Yeah? So back then there were two major empires, the Romans and the Persians. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas defeated the Persian Empire. And it's still not returned till today. Yeah. Sa'd radiallahu anh, he had a brother. Once again, the Battle of Badr. His brother comes to the Battle of Badr. Sa'd radiallahu anh sees his brother. He says, what are you doing here? He says, I want to take part in the battle. I want to be ready for Islam and Muslims. Yeah. I want to support Islam. I want to defend Islam. Yeah. He says, I'm worried the Prophet ﷺ won't take me because I'm too young. Now, by the way, when I talk about the battles of Islam, it doesn't mean that you go do crazy stuff, yeah? It's just to show the love that the Sahaba had for Islam. Have you heard of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu? No? He was a very, very wealthy Sahabi. In fact, the wealthiest Sahabi that you can read of. He's in this battle. He looks to his right and he sees this young kid. He looks to his left and he sees another young kid. And he's thinking to himself, that I'm in a battle, I've got two young kids next to me. Like, you know, if you have some big people next to you, what does it do? You think that you're going to be protected, isn't it? So he looks to this side, young child, he looks to this side, young child. Subhanallah, those young children, one of them turns around and says, Ya Ammu, O uncle, tell us who Abu Jahl, where is Abu Jahl? Yeah. He says, why? He goes, we want to defeat him because he's the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll end with one more Sahabi. Yeah, one more Sahabi. We're talking about young Sahaba. Yeah? Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu was an amazing sahabi. He came from a very wealthy family. A very wealthy family, very well to do. His mother, his father, very well to do. Yeah. He grew up in luxury. Yeah. When you do you guys want to understand luxury? You know, you guys like your designer wear, isn't it? You want your designer jacket, you want this designer trainers, you want your designer jeans, you want your designer this, designer that, to the extent that you do your parents' head in. Yeah? Who likes designer stuff? Come on, be honest. You can't lie in Ramadan. Yeah? You can't lie in Ramadan. Mashallah, even the adults are raising their hands. No, sometimes it's okay because it's quality stuff, so it lasts longer. They say that Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu an, back then, yeah, he used to wear footwear from Yemen because that was like what was in the market at the time. Yeah, what footwear is kind of famous right now? Sorry, the chappal is what your mom and dad use. What's it? Balenciagos, yeah, those Italian stuff. Yeah, those tip ons, isn't it? Yeah, see, Maulana knows his stuff. So he used to wear footwear from Yemen. Do you know what type of cologne he used to put on? They say that the itar that he used to put on, if he walked through a street in Makkah, people would know that Mus'ab has been through this street because the scent would remain. Yeah. That's how like cool he was. He knew what was going on. Yeah. Subhanallah, this same sahabi, yeah, this same sahabi who grew up in these riches, he accepts Islam. He accepts Islam, and guess what his mother does? His mother was powerful. Guess what his mother does? His mother locks him up in the home. Why? Because she didn't want him to be a Muslim. Yeah, this is what the sahaba had to go through. Yeah. On the other side, what happens to our mothers? They're like saying, beta, please pray Quran. Beta, please pray namaz. Please go to the masjid. Please do this. Yeah, they're supporting us. The sahaba didn't even have the support yet they behave like men. Even the teenage sahaba, they were men. They were powerful Muslims. He says, I don't care. Yeah, his mother locked him up. He remained locked up. When he got the opportunity, he ran away. He ended up going to Ethiopia. Have you heard of when some Muslims went to Ethiopia and they went to that King Najashi? Yeah. Well, if you've not heard about it, read about it. Yeah. They came back. They came back to Mecca. Then his mother was there. So some years later, he comes back. And now he tells his mother, look, you can do what you want. If you try to capture me, I'll kill anyone that comes to me. So his mother finally gives in. This was Islam. The Sahaba had to choose between their parents or Islam. Yeah. Their own parents locked them up. We don't have to do any of that. Think about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sends him to Medina to spread Islam in Medina before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam moved to Medina. He spread Islam in Medina. He spread Islam in Medina once he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know the clothes that he was wearing, it made the other sahaba cry. Because he was wearing torn clothing with patches. And when the sahaba saw him, they started crying, thinking that this is the same Mus'ab ibn Umair who was extremely wealthy and was like on top of his game. Yeah? He lost everything because of what? Because of accepting Islam. His parents disowned him, everything. But it didn't matter to him. He says, Ya Rasulullah, my Islam is more valuable to me. Yeah. When he passed away in the Battle of Uhud, defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do you know when he passed away? Yeah, when he passed away, there was not enough cloth on his body to cover his face or to cover his feet. If the Sahaba moved the cloth to the face, the feet would become open. And if they moved it to the feet, his face would become open. Yeah. They came, they said, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, cover his face and cover his feet with some leaves and branches. These are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and what they went through to defend Islam. what they went through for Islam. My young friends, yeah, don't think that your children, don't think that your teenagers, who are you? You're adults. Yeah, you're young adults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats you as a young adult. You need to treat yourselves as young adults. In the month of Ramadan, we see young teenage friends roaming the streets, getting up to nonsense. You might think that you're kids. You're young adults. Live up to what the Sahaba lived up to. Remind yourself, what did the Sahaba go through so that Islam could reach us today? And I know, you know, look, I know what happens in schools. You guys know what happens in schools as well. I know what happens on social media. You guys know what happens on social media. Yeah. In the month of Ramadan, some of what the teenagers getting up to, it puts Islam to shame. It puts us as a community to shame. Ask yourself, for what? I know there's pressure on you. If there's a lot of pressure on you, you need to change the people that you hang around with. Yeah. For my teenage friends, that plays a huge role in what you do and how it shapes your future and how it shapes your growing up. Yeah, right now, your friends are cool and it's all fun doing wrong things and you get a bit of a kick out of it. But really, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? I went to a masjid recently and they had a sleepover, and one of the brothers was telling me that there were a few kids and they didn't behave a few years ago when they had the sleepover. Subhanallah, he tells me that out of those kids, one of them is in prison.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the company that you hang around with. Yeah, it's extremely important that you hang around with people that remember Allah, with people that bring you to the masjid. Yeah, these same friends, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, people will turn around and say, Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. Yeah, friends will become enemies on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because you led me astray. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulalan khalila laqad adallani 'ani dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani. Yeah, people will turn around and say that, you know, if only I didn't keep you as a friend. Because even after Islam came and guidance came and there was the masjid and there was, you know, the Islamic talks and everything, you still led me astray. If only I didn't hang around with you. Alhamdulillah, you've got the opportunity right now. Start hanging around with good people, inshallah. Start coming to the masjid. The fact that you're all here, alhamdulillah, you're the good crowd. Yeah? The crowd that's out there, they're not the bad crowd, but some of what they get up to are bad actions. And I know you guys will feel the pressure as well. Fight the force. Yeah. InshaAllah. Remain connected to Islam. Read about the lives of the Sahaba. Read about the sacrifices that they made so that Islam can reach us today. And also, read about how the elders, what they went through so that you can have this beautiful masjid. Yeah, this is a beautiful masjid. MashaAllah. Did you and I do anything to it? Not really. Yeah. Maybe our parents, people in the community, they worked hard so that we can have this masjid, we can have this space. Yeah, you guys are all enjoying ice cream and desserts. It doesn't just come. There's a lot of volunteers, a lot of adults that are sacrificing their time, their energy, their sleep, yeah, their money. Why? So that you can come to the masjid, you can be a part of the masjid. And I'll tell you something. You know, all the adults in the room, I doubt they had something like this when they grew up. Yeah. Was it something? There's nothing like this in Upton Lane. I'll tell you, I prayed Tarawih in Upton Lane, yeah? They used to, forget the show, they used to have that Hoover stick, yeah? And that caretaker used to beat us with the Hoover stick. Yeah? Alhamdulillah, you guys are being fed ice cream in the masjid. Yeah? They're being pampered, yeah? I'm honestly, you guys are being pampered. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but utilize these opportunities, inshaAllah. Can you guys do that? Inshallah, I'm not going to take for a lot of time. I've spoken for a lot of time. We will open it up, inshallah. Mona.
Inshallah, I think somebody has been ran with pen and paper. If not, Brother Dawseef is going round at the moment. Inshallah, if you have any questions written down, please bring it forward. And inshallah, Maulana will try to answer it as best as possible. So inshallah, we'll be waiting for your questions, inshallah.